Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
You all been good? Nobody been naughty, right? Come on now. Everybody believing for something? Believing to receive something? Believing for something to change in your life? Believing for something to happen in your life? Come on, we're supposed to be living by faith. We're supposed to have expectations that something's coming our way at all times, every day, all day, right? Amen. Come on, that's the way we live. We live by faith. We talk by faith. We act by faith. So we want to be in expectation. Something good is coming my way. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hey, nobody's snooping around, right? That's the number one issue in our house right now. No snooping allowed. We've got things hid everywhere. You'd have to have kids to know what I'm talking about. No Snoop Dogs. God's watching. He'll tell Santa. You won't receive if you're snooping around. All right? But if you're expecting to receive something, what we're going to talk about tonight, we're going to continue on the lines of faith. It's one of my favorite subjects. What are you basing your expectations on? What are you basing your expectations on? Okay? And I titled tonight's message, Faith, What Do You Need? What do you need? And I would venture to say that everyone in this place has needs. We all have needs. Okay? And the way to receive those needs, the way to appropriate and have those needs be fulfilled is by faith. It's by faith. Pastor John's been sharing on it for the last month. Listen, guys. Faith is one of the most important subjects that we can talk about. Because we serve a God of faith. God lives by faith. He sent Jesus to reveal to us faith. And He also instructed Jesus to instruct us how to live by faith. So faith is very important to God. And He tells us in His Word that faith is what pleases Him. So I'm looking out at a bunch of people, and I know that you want to please your Father tonight, right? Because you want stuff under the tree, right? Come on. We live by faith. We talk by faith. We act by faith. It's the most important thing in our lives because faith is God in His Word. And we're going to look along those lines tonight. I'm going to share with you tonight an illustration, a personal illustration in my life. And I'm going to open myself up tonight, but when I received revelation of this principle in my life, it changed my life forever. And I've been teaching on it and preaching on it ever since God revealed it to me. So what I want you to see tonight is there's a principle behind this illustration. Don't get so hung up on the illustration that I'm giving to you tonight. It'll be a good one. But try to open up your mind and your hearts to the principle behind the illustration. And I guarantee it will affect your life also. So let's get right into it. I was 38 years old when I met Jerry, and I was single. 38. And I met her in November. In February, of next February, a couple months later, I asked her to marry me, and I got married at age 39. We had our first child, Lydia, at 40. But I want to get back to 38. 38, and I was still single. There's one of two things that happen when you're 38. People either think you're gay, or they're trying to set you up with everybody and their sister. Okay? Now, I definitely wasn't gay. I like girls. And I had lots of long-term relationships, and I dated lots of girls. So that wasn't the issue. And I just about had it with people setting me up on blind dates and setting me up. All my friends that I grew up with and hung out with, they were all married. They all had kids. In fact, some of them were sending their kids off to school. And I was 38 and still single. And it really hits you around the holidays. Some of you know what I'm talking about, you know? And I wondered and I questioned and, you know, doubted and all those things, you know? But 38 years old, I'd gotten to the point where I said, No more. No more blind dates. No more setups. I've had it. Okay? And I just come back to the Lord. I got saved at age 13. I've told you this before. And I walked away from God for 20 plus years. 20 years I had a wilderness experience where I didn't have nothing to do with God. I didn't go to church. I didn't pray. I didn't seek God for 20 years. But when I came back, I was so grateful that He took me back home and restored me that I vowed that I would live for Him for the rest of my life and I would serve Him. So when I come back into the church, I was hungry for the things of God, and I started reading in my Bible, and I got into the Bible, and for some reason, I was just drawn to Paul. Paul, I just associated myself with Paul. Paul was single. I was single. Paul owned his own business. I owned my own business. Paul was a tent maker, and Paul not only was a tent maker, but he repaired tents as he was doing ministry. So I felt that I had a call on my life at that time. I didn't know what that meant at the time. But I associated with Paul. And man, Paul was one busy dude. I mean, he was always about the Father's business. And whenever he set his hand to something, man, he went all out, right? Come on, we see his life example in the Bible. And I'm made up that way. That's my makeup. Whenever I go for something, I just go all out for it. So I got to the point in my life where I was 38, discouraged, that I wasn't married, no kids, no family. I had come back to the Lord. I had had my own business for quite a few years by then. And I had actually bought the farm where we live in right now. Way before Jerry and kids, I bought this farm. And I talked to the Lord one day. I talked to Him. I didn't listen back from Him. But I said, okay, Lord, You want me to be single for the rest of my life? Fine. I'll be like Paul. And I'll just get so involved with the things of the church. I'll just put my hand to whatever the church needs. They need something done. That's what I'll do. And I did. I went all out. Now, I might have had the wrong motive then, okay? But that's where I was at. And I saw what Paul did, and I associated myself with Paul. So whatever the church needed done, I put my hand to it. Now, you can get something out of this. If you really pay attention to what I'm telling you, forget about Pastor Chris. Forget about the girls and things like that and the marriage. And think about the principle that I'm talking about. I put my hand to something, okay? Whatever was available, I made myself available to do whatever God needed done, okay? Well, the youth pastor in the church I was attending approached me and he said, hey, Chris, you have that big farm up there. Would you be interested and hosting a youth rally at your house? And because I was willing, and because God had blessed me with that place, I said, sure. I just wanted to be used in whatever way I could. I wasn't really into the youth at that time. I mean, I didn't know any of the youth. I just made myself available and made my place available. So what we did was we cleaned up the barn, and we had games inside the barn, and I did hay rides around the place, and we had a big bonfire out in front of the barn. And all the local churches, the youth pastors, brought their kids to this big rally at my place. I didn't know half of them. Okay? I didn't even know the kids from my church. Okay? But we're having this big rally, and all these pastors are bringing their kids over to my place, and they're pulling in. And the bonfire was right out in front of the barn. The parking lot's right there if you've ever seen my place. Well, this red Grand Am pulls in with a carload of kids. And I'll never forget, somebody said, you know who that is? And I heard somebody say, no, I've never seen him before. The kids got all out of the vehicle, and the door opened up, and out came this blonde. And I looked at that girl, and I said, that's the girl I'm going to marry. I'm going to marry that girl. Her mom's right there. I didn't know her from Timbuktu. I didn't know her name, didn't know where she was from, didn't know anything about her. But I knew. Down in here, I knew that I was going to marry that girl. Oh, Pastor Chris, that's crazy. That's coincidence that happened. No, I want to share a principle with you tonight. I ended up marrying that girl. and I want you to just hear me out tonight, because this principle transfers over into every area of life. I don't care what you're in need of tonight. It could be finances. It could be health issues. It could be relationships. It could be that you're seeking what you're supposed to be doing with the rest of your life, maybe going to school, maybe starting a business, whatever it is. This principle that I'm going to share with you tonight from two passages in the Word of God can translate into any one of those areas of life. Well, that's where we're all at. We're all dealing with one of those areas I just described. So, I got to get myself caught up here on my notes. Something changed in my life when I sought God and when I went after Him. In the scripture that I'm going to use tonight, they're going to put it up on the screen here for you, is Matthew 6:33. Very familiar scripture. You probably heard it over and over again. But that's what we're going to dwell on tonight. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Well, what I wanted added unto me was a wife. What I wanted added unto me was some children. What I wanted added unto me was a family. But I sought first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then those things were added unto me. Guys, you know where I missed it for so many years? Is I was seeking the things without seeking the maker of the things. Now, don't hear me when I refer to my wife and kids as things. They're not things. Come on now. I'm serious. They're not things. But I'm referring to them as the scripture says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, wife, children, business, health, vocation, ministry, calling, shall be added unto you." Period. You're either going to believe that or you're not going to believe it. As I put God first, His ways and His righteousness first in my life, He added unto me a beautiful wife who completes me. She completes me. She's my other half. I'm her other half. Two beautiful children. He's using me to touch many lives in ministries, in ministry. He's given me a prospering business. And He's given me a great church family, you guys. I'm a blessed man. And I went for so long hiding that, or wasn't vocal about it. I said, people will think you're arrogant. People will think you're prideful. But you know what, guys? I've changed my view on that. I want everyone to know that this is the Lord's doing. And it is good in His eyes. Praise God. Amen? Amen? Listen. 38 years, Christopher didn't follow after the things of God. He was going after the ways of the world. 38 years, I was not pursuing God. I was not seeking His kingdom and His righteousness. And I was a mess. And I can recall what that life was like. Okay? So this is all about God. This is not about Pastor Chris. This is about a principle that if you'll apply in your life, you shall have those things added unto you too. We're going to get into it a little bit deeper tonight. So many people want different results than what they're currently experiencing. They want something different in their life. They want this year to be different than last year. They want 2013 to be different than 2012. Listen, guys, this is heavy, but unless you change something, you can't expect to get different results. Now, that's easier said than done. We all, I hear you, Pastor Chris. Amen. But I deal with so many situations and people, and the same things are occurring over and over and over in their life. And unless you change something, unless something changes, you can't expect to have different results. If you're doing the same thing this year as you did last year, and things aren't going the way you know that they should be, or the way you see them in the Bible, or you hear Pastor John or one of the pastors or someone on TV and knowing that they can be different and they're not happening in your life, then something's got to change in you. Not God. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So see, this is where the rubber hits the road. Something's got to change in my life. Well, what am I doing this year differently than I'm doing last year? If I'm not doing anything differently, I can't expect to get different results. So if you transfer that over to your family, to the business, to schooling, to looking for a mate, to looking at health issues. Listen, guys, if you're dealing with the same thing over and over and over, something's got to change. I would relay to you tonight that a good place to start is Matthew 6:33. Start with this principle. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I don't know what you want it added unto your life, but I can assure you, if you can find it in God's Word, seeking first the kingdom of God, and you start thinking, talking, and acting right, those things will be added unto your life. Amen? Come on, you've got to believe it to receive it. How, Pastor Chris? How can you be so sure? Because it says, as we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We get hung up on this word righteousness. It's not a word that we use every day in our vocabulary. We don't go to work and talk about being righteousness, and we don't talk about the righteousness with our neighbors. Righteousness means right standing with God. Now, you've heard that over and over in this church. But guys, it's deeper than that also. What righteousness and what right standing with God means is that I can think right, I can talk right, and I can act right. Okay? I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What would your life look like? What would my life look like if we always thought right, we talked right, and we acted right? Come on. Can you go there? Can you even imagine that? Listen, guys, we are called to think right, talk right, and act right. 2 Corinthians 5:17, familiar scripture. If any man or woman be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation, a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things have become new. How many of you would like some old things to pass away? Okay? That scripture says that if you're in Christ, tomorrow's a new day. Tomorrow's a new day. You know what? I didn't confer with God all those years. I dated girls and got myself in all kind of jams and been was in places I shouldn't have been. And that not only with girls, with finances and relationships and everything. I didn't seek God first. I wasn't thinking right. I sure wasn't talking right. And I wasn't acting right. So how could I expect to have good results? Look around at the world, guys. We can see that principle in action. When if they're not thinking right, talking right, and acting right, you can see the end results of that. It's a messed up world that we live in. But here's the good news for you and I, that we're in Christ Jesus. We're a new creation. We can think anew. We can think aright. We don't have to think like the world thinks. A couple verses down from there in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says that he who knew no sin, come on, he who knew no sin became sin so that you and I could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Not a single amen out of that? Listen, that isn't for Pastor Chris. That's from God Almighty. Okay, so let's break it down a little bit because obviously you didn't get it. Who's he? Jesus, who knew no sin. Listen, spotless, blameless, perfect. He always thought right. He always talked right. He always acted right. He became sin, our sin. He took our messes, the messes from yesterday, last year, and from our whole life. He took our messes for tomorrow and the next year and the year after that. He took them in exchange and made you and I the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Come on. You still haven't got it yet. Okay. So the righteousness of God is the same as Jesus. When God looks at you and I, because Jesus paid the price, He looks at you and He sees Jesus. And He's saying to you, my child, you know what? You can think like Jesus. You can talk like Jesus. You can act like Jesus. And if you and I thought like Jesus, and if we talk like Jesus, and if we act like Jesus, we could have the same results as Jesus. Amen? Come on now, this ought to be getting you fired up. If I could have the same results as Jesus had, man, come on, wouldn't that be a good thing? Guys, that's what you and I are called to do right now. We are called to be ambassadors for the kingdom of God. We're sent here from another world, from the heaven, from the kingdom of God, sent into this messed up world to show them what heaven's really like. We're to be Jesus to this hurting world. And we're to teach them how to think right, how to talk right, and how to act right. And listen, if our lives are a total mess, what kind of representation are we? Romans 8:1, now therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So I'm not going to leave you hanging there. If you're not there, that's okay. Repent and move on. Move on. As of tonight, you're a new creation in Christ. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. As of tonight, you have revelation knowledge. You're accountable for what you've heard and what you know. You can start thinking right. You can start talking right. You can start acting right. And we shall be as He is. Jesus said, "The things that I do, ye shall do those things, and greater things than these shall you do." Come on, guys. We're living at a level so much lower than God ever intended for you and I to live at. That's okay. It's just time to step it up. All right? We're getting revelation. He's speaking through me right now to lift your life so we can be at that level. Praise God. I want to be very clear here, though, because some people can misunderstand what I'm talking about. As I talked about getting involved with the church and making myself available, I'm not talking about works here. Okay? I'm not talking about what I could do to earn Jerry and my kids. No. That's not it. I couldn't do enough. Okay? I tried the works thing, and it failed me. This is about God. This is about grace. This is about His mercy, His love for me. Okay? We're not talking about works. We're talking about conferring with the Creator, the Maker of heaven and earth and everything in it. Do you not think that God knows what's best for you and I? He made us. Why do we want to bypass Him and try to do this stuff on our own? Come on, guys. Faith begins where the will of God is known. You ought to write that one down. Faith begins where the will of God is known. If you don't know what the will of God is, then you can't have faith for it. Because you're not really sure if God wants you to have it, or you don't. He doesn't want you to have it. You're not sure if God wants you healed, or He doesn't want you healed. Faith begins where the will of God is known, or we could say faith begins where you know the Word of God. His will is His Word. His Word is His will. You can't separate the two. And so many people want to bypass the Word of God. They want the results that they know to be true, that they've heard someone say, happen to them. They want the results that they see, that this person over here got healed. This person over here's finances are prospering. This guy over here has his relationship, but they don't want to get into the Word for themselves. And you cannot bypass the Word of God. It's so important, guys. You know what? I can't believe for the Word for my own wife, Jerry. Okay? We're as one. But you know what? My wife, Jer, if something, she's believing for something, and she wants something added unto her life, I'll agree with her. I'll do everything that the Scripture says. But Jer's going to have to get in the Word of God. She's going to have to put that thing down inside her life. She's going to have to put that Word, that seed, down into her heart, okay, for herself. Because when Christopher's not around, and when we do have an enemy, and he comes and tries to steal that Word, or he comes to try to get her discouraged, my believing in the Word is not going to be good enough just for her. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want to get off on this. But you have to be established in the Word for yourself. That's what I want to say. You have to be established in the Word for yourself. And faith begins where the will of God is known. I want to continue to get a little bit more out of this Matthew 6:33. And draw a little bit more out before we move on. Why do you think, can we put that back up there? There you go, guys. Matthew 6:33. Why do you think God says, seek ye first? Why would He say first? You know, our God's a God of order. You do know that, right? He is a God of order, man. Everything about Him is in order. Why would God say, seek ye first anything? Hello? to save us a lot of grief and heartache. Amen? God doesn't want you to have to undo. He doesn't want you to have to do it over and over and over. That's a waste of time. I don't like to do things over and over and over. I don't like to learn my lesson by failing and going over and over and over. I'd rather look to someone, and I'd rather look to the Creator, the Maker, and find out how it's supposed to function and operate, and go after that. Amen? Listen, guys, we got too much to do. We got way too much to do to be squandering around and going over these things over and over and over. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He knows best. He created us. He formed us. What if? I'm going to give you a couple what ifs here. Let me get you thinking. What if we'd have sought first the kingdom of God and His righteousness before we ever went out on a date? What if we sought first the kingdom of God and His righteousness before we ever made a decision on what school we're going to go to or what vocation we're going to spend the rest of our life at? What if we'd have sought first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, the great physician, before we went to the hospital and had a surgery or went to the pharmacy and got some pills? I'm all for physicians, all for doctors, and all about, you know, the pills, if we could take them, you need to take them, you take them. God has gifted them the same as He's gifted pastors and teachers, and you know what? He has. So this is not about that. I'm just saying, what would our lives be like? What grief could we save ourselves? What undoing could we do if we'd have sought first the kingdom of God and His righteousness first? Now, I'm totally convinced, and I know that I'm not going to get a whole lot of amens on this, but nowhere do I see in the Bible where it talks about dating. Nowhere. And here's what I've come to learn after much heartache. 38 years. No, it wasn't really 38 years. I didn't start dating when I was 4 and 5. Okay? But for all my adulthood, I dated and went out with girls, and heartache after heartache, me and them. Here's what I've come to learn. God knows who's best for me. He knew before the foundations of the world who would complete Christopher, who would stand by him, who would be there through thick and thin, good times and bad times. Why would I want to go and try this on my own? Why would I want to go and do it in my own ability without conferring with God at all? James 1:17 says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variance or shadow of turning. So whether that thing that you needed added unto you is a wife or a husband or a child or finances or relationships, God says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Good and perfect? It doesn't get any better than that. Why would we want to settle for our own decisions? Come on, guys. Why not seek Him first? Why not seek out the best? And it's not hard. This is not a difficult message tonight. I'm trying to make it as simple as possible. I would submit to you, and I'll get off this dating thing, but I would submit to you that dating sets our kids up for a divorce mindset. And here's why. He didn't treat me right. I'm going to get me another boyfriend. She didn't do this. She didn't do that. I'm going to go get someone else. I don't like you anymore. And because they don't talk right, and because they don't act right, or they didn't do what was expected of this one and expected of that one, when they get married, come on now, this is where we're at, guys. Because she didn't do this, and she won't do that for me, and he's this way, and he's that way. I'm dumping you and I'll just get another one. And it goes on and on and on. What if we instilled in our children to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And we waited on God till that perfect person, that one before He created it, before the foundations of the world. We waited for that one. Man, can you imagine the heartache? Now, if you're one of those people like I was, I mean, I wasn't divorced, but I know there's some divorced people in here. There's no condemnation for you. You're in Christ Jesus. Put that thing behind you and move on. Amen? We got too much to do to sit around and wallow in our mistakes. God says that He'll remove those things from us as far as the east is the west. But I would sure hope from this night forward that you would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness before you'd ever enter into a major decision like that again. Amen? Amen. All right. How about school? Here's a big one. I have a real difficult time understanding this. I got to move on. We didn't seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and we're sending kids to school for 4 to 5 years, and we're spending thousands and thousands of dollars, and they're getting out of school and not doing what they went to school for. Mine's not there yet, you know. But I hear Pastor John talking about it, and I know some of you have done that. Come on, man. Come on now. God created us. He put the gifts and talents in you and I. Don't you think that He knows best where we'll be best served and where we'll best be fulfilled? Why? Listen, guys, I don't know about you, but I'd sure love to have some of those years back that I wasted, that I did in my own ability, in my own effort, and didn't get me anywhere. So if we instill in our children, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness before you pick a school, before you, why don't you acknowledge God first to see what He would even want you to do? Honey, He created you. He knows where you'll best fit in. Seek first the kingdom of God and these things will be added unto you. I would share with you guys that now I know, I didn't know then, but you know what? As you're seeking God, and you're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, desires come up inside you. Desires to do the things of God. And here's what I know about God. He fulfills those desires. He put those desires in you. What if our children knew before they ever signed on the dotted line to go to school for 4, 5, 10, 12 years that they were supposed to be a doctor? That they were supposed to be a nurse. They were supposed to be a school teacher. They were supposed to be a minister. Got to keep moving on. How many times have you and I went in on our own first, only to get in a jam and then wonder, where's God in all this? Where's He at? Why didn't He do this? Why didn't He take care of me? Why didn't He come through? Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness could be relayed to seeking the Word of God, seeking His promises. Find a promise, find a word that you wanted added unto you. That's where you start. That's the kingdom of God. You know, a lot of people say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If you still don't have understanding of that, all that means is get into the Word of God. His kingdom and His righteousness is His word. You can't know what His kingdom is and what right thinking is and right talking and right acting without being in His word. Just get into His word. You can't bypass the word. So after we found our promise, after we found our truth, after we found the promise that God has given to us, that we want it added unto us, step number two, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He will set your course straight. He'll light your path so your feet do not stumble. One of my favorite passages in the Bible. He sets us up to be conquerors, to be triumphant, to be victorious. I credit this scripture right here, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, with any success that I have in my life. Any success that I have or experienced in my life, I contribute it to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It has so much in it, guys. And I would exhort you that if you live by Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 and Matthew 6, 33, you will be successful in what you do. Amen? Come on, I'm going to tell you why. First, let's look at that a little bit deeper. We're called to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Notice the Lord doesn't say, trust with all your head. He says, trust with all your heart. Guys, you can't do it with your head. I use Jerry as an example, but I'll use myself here. You know what? If I find a promise in God's Word, and I just read it one time, it's going to be up here. What I got to do is I got to meditate on that. And I got to keep reading it. And I got to keep saying it. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith cometh by hearing. I want to hear it over and over and over. I want to hear myself saying it. What happens when I say it myself is I align myself up with what God says, and pretty soon it drops from up here down into here. And this is the ground here. When that seed, that imperishable seed, goes from the Word of God into my head, drops down into this ground, it's going to produce. And I'm going to keep watering it, and I'm going to keep feeding it. And I'm a gardener, so I know what I'm talking about. And I keep watering it, and I keep fertilizing it. It's only a matter of time before that thing comes out and manifests itself. God's Word does not return to Him void. It accomplishes exactly what He set out for it to do. Your and my job is to find that Word. He's not going to force it on you. He's not going to just throw it on your lap. We'd dig for it if it was gold. We'd dig for it and pay lots of money to go lottery and all this other garbage. And it's right there in front of us in God's Word. Okay? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He is trustworthy. He's never let us down. He's never forsaken us. He never changes or varies. Even when we don't fully understand it all, we can do it because the Bible says we can by faith. And see, that's good news to me, man, because I'm one of these guys, I like to have it all figured out. I like to know the ins and outs of it. I don't have to with God. I can do it by faith. I can do it as if my little children, my kids don't want to know all the ins and outs. They just want to know ice cream. We're going for ice cream. They don't care if there's gas. They don't want to know if the car is going to run. They don't know what time. Ice cream. You know, fun. Fun. I don't care how daddy, you know, they're not worried about what's in the checking account or anything. Fun. They want fun. Okay? We need to come to God as little children, He says. Okay? I believe you, Dad. I believe you. I believe your Word is true. You're trustworthy. So that's how we can believe, even if we don't have full understanding. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. Well, guys, okay, this is that trust issue. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. You have to come to the point in your life where you believe God is trustworthy. You're here tonight because you believe in Him. You trust Him. And what it says is when you come to Him and trust Him, that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. So that lines right up with Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. Because you came tonight, you must have all your shopping done for you to come tonight. Because you come tonight, you should be expecting a reward. You should not come in here and go out those doors with nothing. Every service, every morning or nighttime that you open up this Bible, you're opening up God. And He wants to speak to you, and He wants to reveal Himself to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and whatever you need will be added unto you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, because He's trustworthy. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will set your course straight. He'll light your path so your feet do not stumble. Praise God. Praise God. Those two principles, guys, will change your life forever. We got to keep going here. People get hung up on the "in all our ways." Is that still up there? "Trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, acknowledge Him in all your ways." They get hung up on that. In all your ways, Pastor Chris? Yes, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. What's that mean? That means, you know, I tell people all the time, they're coming in for, they're struggling with their husband or their spouse or the kids. I said, before you go home tonight, if you're struggling with your wife or your husband, acknowledge God before you walk into the house. If you're going to call them today, before you pick up that phone, acknowledge God. What would you have me say, Lord? What would you have me do? How would you have me act? Is that not seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Before I return a phone call, I ask God, God, you know the problem. I don't. You know everything about this person. Give me the words to say. Before I go into a meeting, I ask the Lord, Lord, I'm acknowledging you. I go into it with confidence, knowing that He's going to set my course straight, light my path so that my feet do not stumble. Who wants to stumble? No one wants to stumble. Come on, guys. God has set you and I up to always be triumphing, to always be walking in victory, to always be more than conquerors if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and trust Him with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding and all our ways acknowledge Him. You can be triumphant. You can walk in victory. And you can be more than a conqueror. I'm going to close with this illustration. I'm talking about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So listen to this illustration. I don't know where I come up with it. I think the Lord just laid it upon my heart because I think it's a good illustration. And it pertains exactly to this passage. What if the President of the United States was going to come over to your house tomorrow for dinner? Okay? Put aside that it's Barack Obama. Respect him. He's the president, okay? But because the President of the United States is coming over to your house tomorrow night for dinner, man, I don't know about you, but I can already see what Jerry would be doing. She'd be frantically cleaning up the room and setting the table and putting a nice tablecloth on there and all the silverware and the whole shebeel. And she'd be setting a place for him. So tomorrow comes and Secret Service knocks on the door and the president comes in, sees a place for him there, sitting looking all nice and stuff. He sits down, feels welcomed, and dines and abides with you. What if the president's coming over tomorrow night, Secret Service knocks on the door, president walks into the dining room, and you guys are already eating? No place setting for him. Didn't consider him coming or didn't even care. I know what I would do. I can't speak for the president, but I would say, oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I don't want to intrude on you. I'll come back when you're done. I venture to say the president would do the same thing. God does the exact same thing. If you'll get that simple little illustration, God will not force himself into your situation. He will not force himself in on you or your family. We're sitting back saying, we got ourselves in this jam. We didn't set a place for him at the table. And yet we're wanting, why isn't God abiding with me? Why isn't he coming in and dining with me? Why am I in such a mess? The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, to trust in the Lord with all your heart, in all your ways acknowledge him. I acknowledge him by giving him place into my situation. I acknowledge him by setting a place at the table in whatever circumstance, situation I'm going through. You receive that? God's not going to force himself on you. He is a perfect gentleman. Okay? And he couldn't force himself on you if he wanted to. Otherwise, you wouldn't have free will. And our God is love, and love always allows a choice. So, we're wrapping it up. How do we get what we need? By faith. That's how you're going to receive all the promises of God. By faith. Say by faith.
By faith.
Number two, I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then whatever I need shall be added unto me. Say whatever I need. God's got it. Amen. Number three, acknowledge Him in all your ways. Say, acknowledge Him in all my ways. And He's going to set my course straight. Trust that He is who He said He is, and He will do what He said He's going to do. So tomorrow, tonight, next week, 2013, you have the opportunity, guys, each and every one of us, everyone out there outside these walls, everyone in the whole world has the same opportunity to take God at His word. I dare you, and I double dog dare you, to take Him at His word and watch Him show Himself strong on your behalf. Watch Him add unto you those things that you desire. Two passages, that's all we shared on tonight. Matthew 6:33, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Two passages can change your life forever. That wasn't difficult, was it? I tried to relay that as in simplest terms as I could. And when you've sought God first, and you put the Word of God first, and you trust Him with all your heart, you lean not to your own understanding, you acknowledge Him in all your ways, and you don't back off because you know that He is no respecter of persons, and He will reward you for your faith, then your faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Your faith. Your faith. God tells us in Romans 12:3 that He has given unto every man and woman the measure of faith. You have right now on the inside of you enough faith for whatever you're ever going to encounter in this lifetime. It's not a matter you need more faith. Oh, I wish I had more faith. I wish I had the faith of so-and-so. You got enough faith in your life right now. It's the application that we're not using. Okay? Whatever you're in need of in this world, God's got you and I covered. You have the faith. Faith begins where the will of God is known. I can apply my faith to that. And I know, because of 1 John 5:4, that my faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Listen, guys, I would want you to underline 1 John 5:4 in your Bible. Because my faith, your faith, is the victory that overcomes the world. In this world, everything that's listed. So no matter what hell is coming against you, no matter what trouble, trial, or tribulation, your faith is the faith that overcomes the world. Praise God. God set you and I up for victory. Amen. Reach out tonight by faith and take it. In 2013 can be, I won't say it will be, you have to say it will be. It can be the best year that you've ever had if you apply these principles to your life. I'm expecting 2013 to be better than this year. I'm expecting tomorrow to be better than today. Okay? Keep your faith out there. I dare you to believe it. Did you receive something tonight? Yes. Praise God. Now, I didn't sing a song the whole service. So I'm going to leave you with a little Christmas song tonight. All right? There's nothing worse than a church full of stuffy, grumpy people. All right? Come on, man. Who wants to be a part of that? So I like to have fun. Christians should have fun. Amen? Come on, man. We're happy that we're alive. God's doing something in us. Man, who would want to come in here and be saying, oh, I'm a Christian. Don't you want to join us? Frowning. Come on. So, I'm going to leave you on a fun note. All right? What I like to do drives Jerry crazy, but I like to take Christmas songs and secular Christmas songs, and I like to add spiritual aspect to them. So I'm going to do one for you tonight, and then we'll pray. Okay? You'll know this one. Oh, we ought to start singing, we ought to start smiling, we ought to start shouting, I'm a-telling you why. Jesus Christ is coming to take us home. He wants you to read your Bibles. He wants you to come to church. He wants you to pray both day and night and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hey, we ought to start singing. We ought to start smiling. We ought to start shouting. I'm telling you why. Jesus Christ is coming. I said, Jesus Christ is coming to take us home. Ba-da-ba. All right. That's fun, right? Maybe you have no idea what's going on. Maybe this is the first time you come into church and say, that guy is loonier than the one that's in there on Sundays. But what we're talking about is we're having fun. We're talking about God's word. And we're talking about He is coming. You know, Santa might be coming a couple days, but God's coming back for sure. Okay? And if you've never made that decision and you have no clue what we're talking about, and we share tonight the 2 Corinthians 5:17, that if any man or woman be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation, new creature, old things are passed away. Maybe you want a new start. Maybe you need a new start. Maybe you just like to have a brand new life. Well, Jesus is here to meet you. So I'd ask, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you want to meet Jesus tonight, I guarantee you, He always shows up. Always shows up. And you talk about the reason for the season, the reason that we're even talking about Christmas, the reason we even have breath is because of Jesus. And Jesus wants to meet you tonight. So if you never made that decision, if you say, Pastor Chris, man, I'm really not sure what you're talking about, but I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life, I would ask you tonight, if something was to happen to you going out of this building tomorrow, next week, do you know where you would spend eternity? Man, eternity's a long time to find out you made the wrong decision. So God drew you here tonight for this purpose. You're not here by accident. He has a specific plan for your life. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you'd like to make that decision tonight to ask Jesus to come into your life, nobody's going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to single you out. I'm going to ask you real quickly. You can raise your hand, put it right back down. And then we're going to pray for you as a church. We're here as a family. We want to support you. So anyone at all? I see you. Thank you. You can put your hands back down. I see one over there. Thank you. Praise God. There's another. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. I see you. You can put your hands back down. Praise God. I acknowledge you. Yep. Guys, this is the best decision that you'll ever make. And this is the best present that you have ever received in your whole life. Anybody else, real quickly? All right, we're going to pray together as a church family. And I'd ask you all to pray aloud with your voice. Say, Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. I want you to come into my life, to give me a new start. I believe in Jesus. I believe He wants to help me. I believe He died for my sins. I want that new start. I want that new life. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life. I will serve you. I will get involved with the church. I will seek you all the days of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Give them a round of applause.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.